Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is taken from Matthew 1, 18 through 21. And I've titled it, You Shall Call His Name Jesus. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Jewish betrothal was sort of like our idea of engagement, but it was stronger, involving a marriage commitment without the final sexual consummation of the marriage. Normally, the betrothal period was about a year in which the groom made preparations for his bride, including the building of a house, often attached to his father's house. When the groom was ready, then he would come with his friends at a time unannounced to receive his bride, officially consummate the marriage, and have a wedding feast. The bride was thus expected to live ready to meet her groom at any time. Unfaithfulness during the time of betrothal was considered to be adultery, as the couple was considered to be legally married. Dissolution of the marriage at this point required a formal divorce, or worse, a public stoning. It was in the context of this betrothal period that it became very evident that Mary was pregnant. We know from further revelation that this child was of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it was a supernatural reality brought about by the Spirit of God. But Joseph didn't initially know this. All he knew was that his betrothed fiancée was now pregnant. Now what? The Old Testament called for the death penalty for a person sexually unfaithful to their partner during the betrothal period, as seen in Deuteronomy 22, 23, and 24. We don't know what the interaction between Joseph and Mary was. All we know is that she was clearly pregnant and Joseph knew it, and he knew he was not the father. Matthew 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly. Joseph was a just or a righteous man in how he lived his life. In other words, he was a true, sincere believer who walked the walk. The fact that his fiancée was pregnant put a cloud of suspicion over both of them. Joseph knew he was innocent, but the proof was clear that Mary was pregnant and therefore must be guilty. Never in the annals of history had a virgin given birth. Joseph had no evidence of another man being involved, but there was the evidence of the pregnancy, which was undeniable. The death penalty called for the death of both guilty parties. But where was the guy? There was no trace, no evidence. What to do? As a godly, righteous man, Joseph would not just go along with this. He would not marry an immoral woman guilty of covenant unfaithfulness. Howard Voss writes, quote, two courses were open to Joseph. He could bring Mary before the court to be publicly charged and condemned, or he could put her away privately by drawing up a bill of divorce before the two or three witnesses, without even spelling out the charges. End of quote. Joseph was a just man with a reputation to protect, but he was also a merciful man, did not want to make Mary a public example of shame, and so he minded to put her away secretly. Verse 20, Matthew 1:20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It is interesting that God allowed Joseph to stir over these things for a while. These are testing times. These are refining times. And they are proving times. The character of Joseph shines through in the crucible of life. He was not bitter or vengeful, but rather thoughtful and deliberate, consistent with a righteous walk of faith that would not compromise and yet showed compassion. Verse 20 is the official explanation from heaven. This was a supernatural reality. This conception was of the Holy Spirit. Mary was innocent. Taking her as his wife would not infringe upon his righteous walk at all. At least not before God. Nelson's Study Bible says, quote, verses 1 through 17 establish Jesus as a legal son of Joseph. Verses 18 through 25 deny that Joseph was Jesus' physical father. The first was necessary to establish Jesus' lineage to David and his royal right to be king. The second was necessary to establish his qualifications as God's son to be Savior of all people. End of quote. Note that once again, the Davidic emphasis comes to the fore as the angel addressed Joseph as, quote, Joseph, son of David. This is all about God fulfilling his promises through the line of David. You don't have to be afraid of the will of God. The angel said to Joseph, do not be afraid. Lots of scary things are allowed to come into our lives, and yet if God is leading us, we don't have to be afraid. We can trust him to work out his sovereign purposes. Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus was not to be named after his legal father Joseph, which was customary. Instead, he was to be named Jesus. In Scripture, when God names someone, that name signifies what defines the person. The name Jesus in the New Testament is the Hebrew name Joshua in the Old Testament. It essentially means Savior. And yet more literally, it means God Savior. This is who Jesus is. He is God's Savior. While Joshua in the Old Testament was a type of Savior that God used, Jesus was to be the Savior. He didn't just have the name Joshua, but rather was Jesus the Christ. Hebrew, Yeshua, Joshua. Greek, Jesus. English, Jesus. Yeshua is a compound name consisting of two words. Yahu is a prefix form of God's name Yahweh. Shua means to deliver, rescue, or save. So Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Jesus is Yahweh God who saves. The name Jesus therefore means Savior because he is the God who saves. This is his name. This is who he is. Jesus is Savior and God, all wrapped up in one person. And this is emphasized in more detail, even in the immediate context. Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior, Deliverer. His name would be called Jesus because he would save his people, that is, God's people, from their sins. He is the Savior from sin, and only God can do this because he alone is Savior, meaning Jesus has to be God. He is the God Savior. Commentators believe that presenting Jesus as Yahweh, who will save his people from their sins, really amounts to an indirect reference to Psalm 130:8. We read there, Psalm 130:7-8, O Israel, hope in the Lord, that's Yahweh, for with the Lord, Yahweh, there is mercy, and with him, Yahweh, is abundant redemption. Verse 8, and he, Yahweh, shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. For us who believe in Jesus, we have come to recognize him as our personal God, our personal Savior. It's personal to us. As we read on in the gospel story, we find that Jesus is the Savior of all who believe on him by what he did for us on the cross in dying for all of our sins. To believe on Jesus is to believe in his name. It is to believe in him as God's Savior. This is what the name Jesus means. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.